I'm listening in on that conversation was WBUR's Anthony Brooks. Anthony joins us now. Welcome back, Anthony.
Hi, Tiziana. Nice to be with you.
So let me just start with reactions to our conversation with Holyoke Mayor Alex Morse there.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting race. I mean, we've seen a series of sort of institutional Democrats being challenged by progressives across the country. And obviously, this is one of those races. It's not clear if Alex Morse has what it takes to beat one of the most powerful Democrats in Congress. But, you know, ask Michael Capuano if this is a race that Neil should be concerned about. Ask, you know, former Congressman, well, Congressman Engels. Ask, you know, the person who... a number of folks, William Lacy Clay, Mike Capuano, Elliot Engel, they all went down. And so this is a race that a lot of people are paying attention to for good reason. And Tiziana, it's interesting, you know, you asked him about the allegations that he made folks among the college Democrats uncomfortable because he reached out to them and dated them and so on and so forth. But, you know, since that whole scandal has, that whole set of allegations broke, you know, then there was this apology issued, and it looks like he was the target of a hatchet job. And his fundraising has increased, his endorsements have increased, and it's really sort of galvanized the progressives who are behind him. So this is really a race to watch tomorrow.
And let's talk about the stakes of that a little bit, Anthony. You know, if he wins, then there's a longtime incumbent who's currently the chair of a powerful committee who will lose that chairship for the district. But then there will be a more progressive newcomer where momentum does seem to be building. What does that mean for Massachusetts? What's at stake here?
Well, I mean, it depends who you talk to. Of course, if you talk to progressives, you know, what's at stake is that you have more progressive voices in Congress. And as you just heard from Mayor Morse, he's in favor of Medicare for all. He's in favor of the Green New Deal. Richie Neal is not. On the other hand, Richie Neal brings millions and millions of dollars home to the district. And Richie Neal also has raised lots and lots of money for other Democrats and helped them win and take control of the House in 2018. So that's the argument in favor of more establishment Democrats like Richard Neal, who have been in power for a long, long time and know how to use the system. So you really have to decide, you know, which side of that equation you're on. I mean, I hear what Alex Morse is saying, and it's a compelling argument, the progressive one. But if you talk to Richie Neal, it's too bad he didn't want to come on the show and talk about that. He makes a pretty strong case for his brand of politics, even if he is, you know, he does sort of open himself up to being a little cozy with large industries from whom he raises large amounts of money.
Okay, so there are a couple of other really interesting races to watch tomorrow, Anthony. I know you know lots of eyes on the Markey Kennedy race for Senate. You've watched it closely. What do you think is at stake in that race?
Well, it's funny. It's been interesting. I was out over the weekend with both Congressman Joe Kennedy and Senator Ed Markey. And, you know, both of them are trying to make a case that they're responding to Massachusetts residents in these difficult times. Both are talking about the challenges of the pandemic, police brutality, particularly on Black and Brown communities. And both are talking about the need to respond to the current racial justice movement. So as we've been talking about a lot, you know, they agree on major issues. But Kennedy is trying to convince voters that Markey just isn't here enough in the state enough, that he represents and that Kennedy represents sort of generational change. And I think we've got a cut of Kennedy where he talks about Markey, who's been serving in Washington since before Kennedy was born, as part of the status quo that has left too many people behind. Here's a bit of what he said.
For most who are struggling and scraping and striving across our Commonwealth, the status quo doesn't come close. And we will not change that by doing the same thing that we've been doing for 50 years, by entrusting our future to the same people who built our past.
So that was Congressman Kennedy speaking in East Boston on Friday. Now, in response to that, what's interesting, Tiziana, is Markey really wasn't, when I saw him this weekend, he wasn't going after Kennedy. He was sort of looking past Kennedy and talking about the November election. But I did ask him directly about this sort of fundamental argument that Kennedy makes for generational change and the fact that he's been there for so long. And here's his answer to that question.
My answer is quite simple, that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is right when she says that it's not a question of your age, it's the age of your ideas. If it goes to a question of ideas, I'm the youngest guy in this race.
And Tiziana, just a final thought about that. He might be, I mean, there's some truth to that. I mean, the most recent poll suggests that Markey is leading in this race, thanks in large part to the state's youngest voters. So like Bernie Sanders, you know, he's older. Markey's 74, and he's got the support of young progressives. And if he wins re-election, that's going to be the reason why.
So that's how the two candidates are framing it. Is that how their supporters and the voters out on the in the field are receiving it? Is that, have they accepted that framing in this race? What are you hearing from them?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think if Kennedy's challenge falls short, it's going to be because, not because folks don't agree with a lot of his issues, because his issues are, his politics are more or less the same as Markey's, are pretty much identical. But it's because he has, you know, failed to make the case, essentially, that Markey should be thrown out of office. And so I spoke to a voter in Longmeadow, Massachusetts, on Saturday about that. And I think we have that tape that we can play. And she makes the case about why she's sticking with Markey and impressed with his long record of progressive accomplishments.
I think that Ed Markey has earned the right to be returned. And I don't feel that Joe Kennedy has ever, in everything that he said, he has never made a good case for why we should oust a really effective senator from his position.
So that was Michelle Marantz from Longmeadow. And Tiziana, I really think that's sort of the core issue. Has Kennedy made that case to enough people that Markey should be thrown out? Because another thing that Michelle Marantz said is, I've got nothing against Joe Kennedy. I agree with him. He's a good guy. He seems to do his homework and so on and so forth. But he just hasn't convinced me that we should fire Ed Markey.
All right, so let me just ask you about one other race, Anthony, which is the 4th District. It's been an open seat now. Oh, it's becoming an open seat after Kennedy jumped into the Senate race. It is a crowded field. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one to analyze, especially sort of on a short segment like this. I mean, you've got 10 candidates campaigning across 34 towns, so it's a bit of a political scramble. The Democratic field includes some better-known names than others. I mean, Alan Casey, he's the founder of City Year. He's raised the most money among the Democrats. Newton City Councilor and former Marine Jake Auchincloss has been gaining some headlines. And Jesse Mermel, a former Brookline Select Board member and a former aide to Governor Deval Patrick, she's been endorsed by Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley and Attorney General Maura Healey, as well as by Dave Cavell, the former Obama speechwriter who dropped out of the race. But, you know, there's been a dearth of polling, so it's hard to say with anything approaching certainty who has the advantage here. But it's a big political scramble, and it's going to unscramble one way or another by the end of the day, or maybe not by the end of the day tomorrow. But
yeah, so that was my last question for you. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt there, but that was my last question for you. Will we know by the end of the day? Will we know by Wednesday, Thursday? I mean, a lot of people are watching how mail-in voting is going to play out as a dry run for November.
Yeah, and I don't really know the answer to that. I know we're all expecting, you know, none of us is going to be surprised if we're not going to know the results of a lot of these races by the end of the day tomorrow. You know, it's hard to say with certainty how long we're going to have to wait, but I think we're in uncharted territory here. You know, Massachusetts has never had mail-in voting. We've never voted in the middle of a pandemic, and so we got to find out how it works.
Well, that is WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks, and we look forward to finding out alongside. Good to have you on the show today, Anthony. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiziana.